Well, pray with me if you will. Well, Father, we sure love you and we thank you for today. And Jesus, we thank you that you are our cornerstone. You are the foundation of our faith. We have no faith without you. We have no certainty of heaven without you. We have no victory over hell, death, the grave, the demons, and all manner of evil that is leveled against us without you. So thank you, Father, for Jesus, the perfect sacrifice for our sin. Jesus, thank you for dying for us. Thank you for resurrecting on the third day, validating everything that you said. And now, Lord, as we look at your word, I pray you open our hearts and our minds. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, good morning, wherever you may be, where you're listening from and watching from. So glad that you joined us here at Grace. It is great to have you. And let me just start by saying, here's what I know is true. I know some of you are watching and you're incredibly upset. Some of you are watching and you're scared. Some of you are watching today and you're tired. Some of you are watching and you're worn out. Some of you, there's been so much change thrust into your life, you are on ultra overload. Now, that's some of you. Now, some of us don't really hate change, but this has been a little extreme, right? This has been just a little bit too much, and we're getting tired of it, and we're getting weary, and the road's getting long, and it's rough. And now there's a few of you, not a lot, but a small percentage of you, that just really don't care one way or the other. I mean, you're just sort of like, well, this is just another thing. We're going to get through this, and we're going to be fine. But I want to talk at the first part of our message. Now, we're starting a series today called What's Next? And to receive what God's Word says about what's next, we have to be okay with what is. We have to come to grips with where we are, what's going on, what's happening, and be confident that God is ultimately in charge, even of what we're experiencing today. So here's what we got to do. We got to understand that God cares and he can do anything in our life. God can do anything he wants to. Now, there's a belief in some of you right now because of the coronavirus that if we're going to get a grips with what is, if we're going to understand and be okay with what is and have confidence in what is, we have to understand that God can. He can do whatever it is he chooses to do. God is sovereign. He is providential. Sovereign means he's ruler, boss, and master. Providence is how we describe his administrative philosophy, right? How he orders and guides the world. Now, there's this idea out there called open theism. And open theism says that God sort of would be involved if he could, but he can't. So he's watching things sort of wind down the way they wind down. Understand, there is no Bible to support that. There's no verses to support that when the coronavirus happened, when all this other stuff happened, that somehow it caught God off guard and God can't do something about it. That is simply not in the Bible. I can't give you one verse that says God's not in control. I can't do it. I've read the whole book, all 66 books of it, and I'm telling you there's not one phrase that says God is not in charge. God can. But now, if you're fearful today, if you're fretting today, if you've spun into a bad spot, right? If you fall into a deep depression, man, if things are not going well between your ears and in your heart, you might believe that the world has gotten out of God's control. That all of this change has happened because God isn't in control. Simply isn't true. Now, some of you, and we're going to look at some verses on that in a minute. Now, some of you don't believe that. You believe, okay, God could do whatever he wanted to. But some of you believe God doesn't care. I mean, some of you have sat at home, you've isolated yourself, you've insulated yourself, you've not called others, you've not reached out via social media, you've not done some of the healthy things you can do, and so you're sitting there inside yourself, inside your own mind, and you just believe God doesn't care. That for some reason he just doesn't love you, he doesn't love us, he doesn't love the world. That is simply not true. Let me remind you of the most popular verse in all the Bible. For God so loved the world that he gave his son. Now, the fact that he gave his son means his love doesn't go away. That is the ultimate gift God had. Second person of the Trinity took on human form, was born of a virgin, lived a perfect life, died on the cross for our sins, resurrected on the third day. That alone seals the deal that God's love for us is eternal and forever. So God can and he cares. But it is true that things have changed, and things have changed a lot. So here's what we have to see about change day. You have to come to grips with what is. And one of the things is understanding that God can and he cares, and we're going to talk about that, right? And the second thing is that change is normal. All of this change might seem abnormal to you, and it's certainly abnormal to me. It might seem weird to you, and it is weird to me. It might seem ill-placed and ill-timed for you, and it's ill-timed for me. We may get all that, but change is a part of God's normal activity on the earth. Listen to this. God causes change to bring about his desired end. Understand that. If you get nothing else today out of our brief time together, understand that change is God causes change to bring about his desired end. Did you get that? God causes change to bring about his desired end. Let's go back to the book of Genesis. God started with change. Check this out in the book of Genesis. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, understand that the Christian doctrine teaches that that was ex nihilo. That means out of nothing, God created the heavens and the earth. That's a big change. I mean, when there's nothing, there's now something. That's change. All right, then it goes on. And he says, the earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And God said, look, let there be light. And there was light. Change number two. Another change. There was no light, but now there's light. God, at the very beginning, is using change to bring about his desired end. Then it goes on, and God saw the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. Okay, another change. God separated light from darkness. Are you getting the picture? God has always used change. Now, change might be uncomfortable to you. It might be uncomfortable to you. You might not understand where it's going. We're going to talk about that over the next 3 weeks. You might not like it all. I certainly don't like it all. But to say somehow God is out of control, or God, you know, can't do something, or God doesn't care, simply flies in the face of what the Scripture reveals as very basic to the very nature and character of God. God has been about change from the beginning. And then it goes on. It says that God said, let there be an expanse in the midst of the waters. And so he separated the waters from the waters, and God made the expanse and separated the waters that were under the expanse from the waters that were above the expanse. And so here's what happened. God begins to separate the waters and cause land to rise up. Another change. And if you read the book of Genesis, the first three chapters, all right, you're going to see all these changes in the cosmos, on the earth, and fundamental change in that, oh, this little thing called man pops up, right? I mean, the Bible will say God took the dust of the earth and he formed it together and he breathed life into it and man was born. And then that's a big change. And then it wasn't good for man to be alone, so he caused sleep to come upon man. Then what does he do? He takes from man a rib, and he takes that rib, he fashions it into woman, and says, boom, there's woman. That's another change. And I'll tell no women jokes right now because I want to go home and I want to be okay. So anyway, it's all about change. So if you're sitting there saying somehow this change can't be part of God's plan, it can't be part of his providence, it can't be part of his sovereignty, God can't be in charge of this, God can't care, then you're just not reading the Scriptures. Now let me turn over to Ecclesiastes 3. Solomon, the wisest man to ever live other than Jesus. We have his diary right here. He was a king. He was super smart. Remember Solomon. God said, what do you want? Gave him the blank check. He said, I want wisdom to lead your people. God gave him that and then some. And he writes in his diary this in Ecclesiastes 3. It says, there's a time for everything. There's a season and a time for every matter under heaven. So for everything, for every time and every season, there's a purpose under heaven. There is a corona time and season and purpose. There just is. There was a MERS. There was a SARS. There was an Ebola. There was the Black Death. There was a time and season for every purpose under heaven. Now he goes on and he says this, there's a time to be born, there's a time to die. If you're a believer today, if you know Christ today, understand this. Listen, if you know Christ today, this is as bad as it gets for you. It only gets better. Heaven is a promotion. It only gets better. It really does get better. You're saying, yeah, but I love my family and I love my spouse and I love this and all that. I get it. I just hope you love the Lord more. If you know Christ and the Spirit of God lives within you, you should love the Lord more. And if you do, it gets better. But if you're not a believer today, it only gets worse from here. Because you have an eternal destiny waiting for you without God. And that's worse. So He says there's a time to live and there's a time to die. There's a time to plant, time to pluck up what's planted, time to kill, a time to heal, time to break down, a time to build up, a time to weep, a time to laugh, time to mourn, and a time to dance. I won't go into that, okay? There's a time to cast away stones, time to gather stones together, a time to embrace, a time to refrain from embracing. We're in a time to refrain from embracing. Now look right there. There's a time to embrace, but there's a time not to embrace. Until all this sort of clears out, we'll be fist pumping and elbow bumping and waving and air hugging and all that kind of business until it's safe. Many people will. Now, some people won't, and that's their freedom to do that. So, but there is a time for that. And so we go on. There's a time to seek, a time to lose, a time to keep, a time to cast away, a time to tear apart, a time to sow, a time to keep silence, a time to speak, a time to love, a time to hate, a time for war, and a time for peace. He goes on. Now, this isn't an exhaustive list. Listen, this is an example. These are examples of what he said in verse 1. What did he say in verse 1? For in everything, there is a season and a time for every matter under heaven. Solomon says, listen, change is part of God's economy. It's part of what he does. It's part of how the world works. Remember, God causes change to bring about his desired end. He always has. That is a tool that he uses. But if you're sitting there today and you're wondering, how does it all work out? How do we know that this change is going to work? Well, let me share with you Romans 8:28. Romans 8:28 says, for God causes all things to work together for the good for those who love God and who are called according to his purpose. Now, listen, Romans 8:28 has been misunderstood. It doesn't mean God causes all things to be good. There are some things that aren't good. There are some things that are bad. People getting sick is bad. People dying is bad. There are certain things that are bad. That's not what God's causing. He's taking those situations. He's weaving them together for the good. Interesting, that definite article is there. The good. That means there is a specific good that God's causing all this change to happen and weaving it together to get to. And what is that good? Well, it's his will. What's his will? Right now, his will is the advancement of the gospel to every man, woman, boy, and girl on this planet. His will is for us to be involved in the ministry of reconciliation, helping people get their relationship back right with God or right with God for the first time. That is the mission that we're on right now. God causes all things to work together for the good, that definite article, the specific good, which is the advancement of the gospel right now. So, all this stuff that's going on, listen to me, God is weaving it together for the good. Not saying it's all good. No, it's not good. Some people have lost their jobs, and I'm so sorry. And listen, we stand ready to help you. If you have lost your job, if you need help, you can contact me, 386-546-2947. That is my personal cell phone number. If you need help, please call me. The church stands ready. We've had so many people in our church call me saying, hey, Terry, if you hear somebody needs help, I'm in. If you're somebody that needs grocery, I'll buy them, go get them, and I'll take them to them. We have people ready to minister to the fellowship. We just have to know. That's not good in itself. It's not good that people you love pass on. In our perspective, from our point of view, it's not good. We get it. It's not good that we can't enjoy living in Northeast Florida. I can't tell you how many days the last month I'd love to have gone to the beach and walked, probably because you couldn't, so that makes you want to do it more. But I mean, we couldn't do that. We can now, thank the Lord, starting to loosen up, and I think it will continue to loosen up as things continue to go on. I think we're getting on the backside of this, but that's for next week and the following week, not for today. But God causes things to work together. Now, remember this, Isaiah 41:10, if you're sitting there, now listen, if you're in a deep depression, if you're in a hole, if you can't get out from behind your ears, if your ears got you trapped, if your brain has you trapped in a bad spot, if you've listened to too much news, too many negative Facebook feeds, if you've had chats with too many other people, if you've listened to the hysteria of some people that are out there, then this verse is for you. Listen, Isaiah 41:10 says this. Ready? First two words. Fear not. First two words. Fear not. God says, speaking through Isaiah, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed. Don't be discouraged. Don't give up. Don't feel hopeless. Don't feel helpless. Don't feel trapped. Don't feel doomed. Don't let those feelings reign in your mind and your heart. Don't be dismayed. Why? God says this, for I am your God. God hasn't left you. The Spirit of God hasn't left you. God loves you. He cares about you. He hasn't left you. Fear not, for I'm with you. Do not be dismayed, for I'm your God. I will strengthen you. Ask God for strength. How often are you praying? Are you praying more or less? This should drive you to your knees. If this is bothering you at all, some people it's not. But if this is bothering you at all, this should drive you to your knees to seek the Lord. But Terry, you know, I sort of feel like a hypocrite because I've not been faithful with my giving. I've not been faithful with my serving. I'd sort of feel bad running to God in a foxhole. Remember, God causes change to bring about his desired end. God doesn't want to pay you back. He wants to get you back. God wants you back. So this might be, I don't know, we'll be talking about in the next few weeks, but part of God's plan in all this might be to get you back. Because, you mean, God would send a pandemic? Yes, because your eternity is more important than modernity. Modernity means right now. Your eternity is more important than modernity. Your eternity is forever. This is just for a few years. So, Isaiah 41:10 says, "Fear not, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you." God says, I will help you. You have opportunity to get help from the creator of the cosmos. My advice? Access it. Dial it up. If God says, I will help you, then seek him so he'll help you. Then finally, the Lord says this. He says, I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. God says, and all of this change, and all this turmoil, everything's changed from the beginning, it's changed in the middle, it's changing now, it's just speeding up a little bit, but things have always changed, and you're feeling out of control, you're feeling like I'm not, God's saying, you don't think I'm in control, you don't think I care, you don't think I can, understand this, in those situations, I am going to hold you up with my right hand. I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to control you. Now listen, we can't deal with what's next if we're not comfortable with what is. So right now, you've got to come to the place where you understand God can. He could fix this today if he wanted to. He's doing something bigger than me and you. I mean, you do know that we're not the middle of the universe, right? I mean, you know that God doesn't wake up every day and thinks, hey, there's Terry right down there. I guess Terry thinks the world should revolve around him because he's most important. So I'm going to orchestrate the entire cosmos around Terry because it's all about Terry. God doesn't do that. God's not living in our world. We're living in his. So it's about him. And so here's what he's doing. He is orchestrating things. But I don't like it. Okay. So, God loves you. He cares about you. He has demonstrated. What does Scripture tell us? But God demonstrated his love toward us. That while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You're going to let a virus nullify all the memories and realities and truth you've experienced by knowing Christ personally? You're going to let a germ push out the glory of the gospel in your life? No, you're not going to do that. Because the Spirit of God is going to testify to you and in your spirit. He's going to bring confidence and courage. And God's going to help you and he's going to hold you. We have to be comfortable with what is before we can look at what's next. And remember, God causes change to bring about his desired end. So, where do we go from here? I had to open up our time talking about this because I know many of you are nervous and upset, you're scared, you're worried, you're beat down and you're depressed. Man, don't let it happen. Don't stay there. Run to the Lord in prayer. Turn off the negative voices in your head. Get rid of it. Turn the TV off. Get off of Facebook. Stop looking at all the death tolls. Stop looking at all the negatives. Stop it. Don't listen to all the doctors. Listen, I've got doctors in my family. My cousin's a doctor. My little brother, fraternity, he's a doctor. He's board certified in three areas. They're both really smart guys. And they're saying, look, this is the flu. Yes, it's bad if you're in the compromised groups, but outside of that, you're going to get through it fine. If for every five doctors you could put on Facebook saying, the end is near, we're all going to die if we don't stay home for the next year, I can bring up doctors that say nonsense. I'm not a doctor. I don't pretend to be. Never going to be. Don't desire to be. I'm just saying that our hope and our trust must be in Christ. and in Christ alone. It must be. We've got to do it. So, if we're comfortable with what is, let's look at what's next. Now, I need to apologize to you. As your pastor in 5 years, I have never mentioned much or taught much about prophecy. And prophecy is a key part of Scripture. About 30% of the Bible is prophecy. Now, it's divided into different categories of prophecy. One is what I call preventive or predictive prophecy. And those preventive and predictive prophecies were usually directed for people of that time and of that day. People like Jonah. God raises up Jonah, a prophet, and says, go to Nineveh, preach to Nineveh. If they repent, then great. If they don't, I'm going to destroy their city. So here's the predictive thing. If they don't repent, prediction is your city gets destroyed. But it's preventive. It's preventative. You can avoid that. How do you avoid it? By repenting and turning to the Lord. That's one area. We see that kind of idea of prophecy in the book of Joel, too, where Joel's prophesying. He says, look, there's going to be these three swarms of locusts coming in. It's going to decimate all the land and all the crops. There's going to be this huge famine. But the Lord says, if you repent and turn to me, I will return the years the locusts have eaten. So see, there's a preventive and predictive aspect to the prophecy. So that's one. Then you have prophecies that are messianic. These are prophecies that specifically deal with Jesus. There's around 300 of those in the Scripture. And if you look at prophecies that had to happen for those prophecies to happen, it goes up to about 600. So those are messianic prophecies. But what we're concerned with today, we're concerned with what's called the apocalyptic or end-time prophecies. Apocalyptic and end-time prophecies are contained in 150 chapters of the Bible. 150 chapters contain end-time prophecies. Now, some of you are thinking right now, well, this is the end. Coronavirus is the end. It's all over. There's no way. This is it. Armageddon's coming because I listen to this guy who says he's a prophet. I listen to that guy who says he's a prophet. It is the end of time. This is it. We're checking out. No. I won't be real emphatic over these next 2 weeks because prophecy at best is man's interpretation of some pretty mysterious words and configuration of words. But here's the deal. The answer is no. It is not the end. Now, let me just push the pause button and mention this. Some of you are panicking so much and scared so much. One, because I haven't preached prophecy like I should. And because of that, you've not had a context to place this into. And we get really nervous, we get really scared, we spin out of control if we can't take the circumstances of life and place them in some particular context and some particular pattern. And so what I'm hoping to do over the next few weeks is to help you see that there is a pattern, there is a context, and it shouldn't promote panic and rapid fear, you know, at this point. Revelation chapter 6, verses 6 and 7. It says this. It says, and I heard what seemed to be a voice in the midst of four creatures saying, wait a minute. Yep. Sorry, right here it is. Okay. Verse 7 says, now 7 and 8. Well, when he opened the fourth seal, I heard a voice of the fourth living creature say, come. And I looked, and behold, a pale horse, or an ashen horse, depending on your translation, and its rider was named Death, and Hades, followed by him. And they were given authority over, listen, okay, so Death and Hades, Death was given authority over a fourth of the earth to kill with the sword, that means with wars, with famine, that means you don't have any food, with pestilence, coronavirus, bugs, germs, and by wild beasts of the earth. So, here's the deal. Now, this happens in the middle of the tribulation period, and we'll get to that in the coming weeks. Coronavirus is not going to kill 2 billion people. That's a fourth of the earth right now. Basically, a fourth of the earth would be 2 billion people. This is not what's going on today. The most wild, crazy model you've ever heard. All these guys that got on there saying millions of people here, none of it equaled up to a fourth of the earth. It just didn't. It's not the end. So let me put all of this stuff in context, in a biblical context. God causes change to bring about his desired end. Prophecy is God's way of bringing change, of telling you change is coming. It's going to happen. Now, some of it's predictable. Some of it's preventable. Some of it had dealt with Jesus, so that's you know his birth and his death and his resurrection. All right, some have dealt with that. But this is the apocalyptic stuff. So let's put it in context. The coronavirus is not going to kill 2 billion people. That is crazy. No model has even come close to that. 2 billion people. I mean, that's the entire United States of America. There's roughly 350 million, put it in context. There's roughly 350 million people in the United States. So that would mean everybody in the U.S. would have to be dead. No. That's not going to happen. This is not that. It just isn't. So, why are we talking about the end times? Why are we talking about what's next? When I was a young believer, back in the 70s, when I was a young believer, there were some popular Bible teachers that took all the the apocalyptic stuff, wrote books, made movies, and it became very popular. People like Hal Lindsey was very popular. Jack Van Impe, very popular. Now Van Impe's with the Lord now, and maybe Hal Lindsey's still alive, I don't know. But Hal Lindsey wrote a very popular book called The Late Great Planet Earth. And that really was sort of the foundation of looking at the end times in light of today and what is the Bible saying and what could it mean. So that's sort of when it started, and that was really important to me. And the idea of a rapture, and I'm going to read you a verse in just a minute, we're going to be done. And the idea of a rapture was very important because it did some things for me internally. One, it helped me to live right. It helped me not to go as far beyond the boundaries as I should, because I didn't want, you know, the Lord to show up and me being stepping in stupid somewhere, because everybody knows I have a tendency to step in stupid, right? And so I didn't want that to happen. And the other thing was the urgency and the really the centrality of the call of God on every believer's life to share the gospel. That is central to every believer's life, is to share the gospel. When you think that maybe things are going to end, and you want your family to get to heaven, you share the gospel. If you're a pastor of a church, and I, again, thank you, Ryan, for putting the faces of so many of our people up here. I'm looking at all these places and faces, and that's wonderful. But when you pastor a flock, you don't want the day to come and half of your church be left here. That is bad shepherding. That is very bad pastoring. Now, I can't make the decision for you, but I can give you the information that God will use the person of the Holy Spirit to awaken within you faith to believe. That's sort of how it works. But I can do that. And again, I haven't been good at that here at Grace. And I apologize. I haven't talked about this. So if this is going to make you scared over the next 2 weeks, let me apologize. But I've got to teach it. If you're going to be uncomfortable with it and get mad at me, I can get in line. Right? I mean, just get in line. I can handle that too, but I've got to teach it. If you don't want to hear about what's next, maybe you don't need to watch the next couple of weeks. Might not need to. But if you know some people who need to hear this, then call them. Get with them. Communicate to them. And maybe they will be changed in this process. 1 Thessalonians 5. 1 Thessalonians 4, rather, beginning in verse 13, the Bible says this: "But we do not want you to be uninformed or ignorant, brothers, about those who have fallen asleep, that you may not grieve as others do who have no hope." You ever been to a funeral of an unbeliever and then go to a funeral of a believer? Very different. The grieving is very different. The atmosphere is very different. And so Paul's writing this and saying, I don't want you to be ignorant about those who have fallen asleep. "For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again," and we do, "even so, through Jesus God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep. For this we declare to you by a word from the Lord, that we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord," that means he's coming again, "will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry and a command, with the voice of an archangel, and the sound of the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together," caught up. That word "caught up" is the word harpazo. Harpazo is the Greek word. Now, we don't actually have the word rapture in the Greek text. Harpazo is the Greek word, but when the New Testament was translated into Latin, which it was, the word raptura was used to describe this word harpazo. And a harpazo means to be caught up, to be taken up. Actually, it means to be snatched. That's what it means, to be snatched up, is what harpazo means. And so where we get the word rapture, and you hear the word rapture, that's actually not a Greek word, it's a Latin word. And it's the Latin word that describes harpazo. So raptura is that word. So we're going to be caught up or snatched up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will always be with the Lord. Now look at this. Therefore, now focus on this. Therefore, because death is at the end, because Christ is coming again, because God is in control, because he cares about you, and he can do whatever he chooses, because change is normal, it's been that way from the beginning, because all of these things are true, listen, here's what the Bible says. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. We're going to talk about what's next for the next couple of weeks, because for the believer, they're going to be unbelievably encouraging. You're going to be encouraged. Listen, if you will tune in, if you're afraid, and you may not be, but if you have a little apprehension, if you'll face it and tune in, I promise you, at the end of each sermon, you'll be encouraged. You'll be built up. You will feel better. You'll be more confident. You'll throw your shoulders back. Your chin will be up. You will know that God cares and God can. You really will. You'll know that all this change that's going on to bring about God's desired end is a good thing, not a bad thing. It's a thing to be celebrated, not to be mourned. It is a positive thing. It really is. You're saying, Terry, there's no way you can get me from where I am today to feeling positive in 2 weeks. You're right. I can't, but God's Word can. And the Holy Spirit can. And so I hope that you'll be with us with that. So we're going to come together the next few weeks, and we're going to encourage each other with these words. The words that the Lord is coming again. He is. The Christian church has always believed that. It's been taught from the very beginning. We don't know when, and we disagree sometimes with the events surrounding his return. But the Christian church has always believed that one day this world will end and Christ will come again. Be encouraged if you're a believer. Remember what I said earlier? Things for you as a believer only get better. If you're not a believer, things only get worse from this point. Let me pray for you. Well, Father, I pray right now for those who are listening, those who will be listening over the next week, 2 weeks, whatever it might be. Lord, I pray that you would bring peace and hope into their life, Father, and confidence in their life. But Lord, the only way that happens is with a personal relationship with you, Jesus. So right now, if you're listening and you are not positive about your relationship with Jesus Christ, I wonder if you would just pray this. Just pray, Lord, it's me. Thank you for hearing my prayer. God, I have a lot of questions and concerns about everything going on, the changes that have happened, all the stuff that's been going on. Lord, and I'm scared, and I'm unsure, and I'm bothered, and I just want it to go away. But Father, right now, I know one thing for sure, is that I don't know you, but I want to. So Jesus, I believe that you died on the cross for my sins. I believe on the third day you bodily resurrected from the grave. And right now, I repent and turn from my sin. Jesus, I declare you Lord. That means boss and savior of my life. Jesus, I believe in the miracle, the miraculous reality of the bodily resurrection from the dead. And Lord, I place my faith and trust in you alone. Forgive me, change me, and save me. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. If you prayed that prayer or something like that prayer for the first time, please let us know. You can log in right now. They're on Facebook and say, hey, I prayed that prayer. And if you'll leave us a phone number or some way to contact you, we'll be glad to do that, talk with you, pray with you, make sure you have a Bible. If you have a device, obviously you have a computer, but if you have a phone, easy to download free Bible apps. I use Blue Letter Bible. Some use Bible Gateway. Both of those are free. You can download those. Get on a Bible reading plan today. Your life will be better if you get... Listen, more Bible, less news equals a happier life. I promise you it does every single day. Okay? Well, Ryan's going to come up. We're going to talk about a couple things and then we'll be done.
Hey, thanks. For those of you that are with us online, we are excited. Tomorrow morning, we're going to be launching our own YouTube channel. And so be sure to go out there and subscribe so that when we post a new video, you'll be able to see it. You'll get a notification that it's there. But we, every morning during the week, at 9:30 in the morning, Pastor Terry is live doing what we're calling the Corona Chronicles. So we'll be on Facebook Live doing that. If you happen to miss those, they're still on Facebook, but we're going to be taking those as well and kind of combining them all together, putting those on our YouTube channel, putting our services that we do here on Sunday mornings. Those will be on our YouTube channel as well. But we are excited about some of the things we're doing.
Our youth
are doing some stuff as well. We have a YouTube channel for our teenagers called All In Students. It's ALL, capital N Students. And so you can look us up there. We're putting out some stuff for our students to just encourage them through this time. It's a great opportunity for us, and it's different. I mean, we've never had to do ministry like this before. And so we're trying to find some ways to engage with you, to help you, to give you some resources to learn right where you are, but also to pass those off. So if these things have helped minister to you, or if you know somebody, please like them, please share them, please subscribe to our Facebook page, subscribe to the YouTube channel. We would love for you to connect and join with us that way. The Corona Chronicles are also going on the weekends at 10:30 on Saturdays.
Yep.
Our youth
we don't do a Corona Chronicle on Sunday because we're here.
We're here, right. So. Yeah. So we do that at 10:30 on Saturdays and then 10:30 here live with us. Students, we're switching things up a little bit. We're going to move our Sunday morning time to 6:30 at night. I figure most students aren't awake at 9:30.
Correct.
And so we're going to do it at 6:30 on Sunday nights and 6:30 on Wednesday nights via Zoom. So if you need to be a part of that with us, please join our text group, things like that. But we've got some great opportunities for you to join in. We're super excited about tomorrow doing a YouTube channel.
And I want to thank Abby, Raymond Ryan's oldest daughter, who's been just invaluable in making this happen. She's smart, she's clever, she's pretty. Everything Ryan isn't, right? So everything Ryan isn't. Well, you know, yeah. the old joke is, she got all that from you. That's why you don't have it anymore.
Yeah.
Well, right? Okay, so see,
yeah.
There you go. Right,
I'm glad she looks like her mother, you know?
100%.
Exactly.
Oh, just by the way, just so you know, I do FaceTime. You know, I don't mind FaceTiming Abby and Hannah and Jennifer, but I never FaceTime Ryan.
Yeah, never.
There's a reason for that.
Yeah, it's okay.
There
it's
you
all
go.
Good.
Okay. All right, so one more thing. Two more quick things. One, Wednesday night at 6, we do have our Bible study. That's on our Facebook Live. We'll also be having that on our YouTube channel. We're going through 1 Peter, and it's a Bible study. I'm sitting at my desk, have my Bible, have all my tools open. So it is a Bible study. I want to invite you to be a part of that. And I also want to remind you about giving. You can go to graceplackett.org,
yep.
graceplackett.org, and on the web page, up sort of in the right, there'll be a drop down where you can donate, and we want to encourage you to please donate. If you've never given before to the fellowship here at Grace, we want to encourage you to do that. During these times, we need you to be generous. That's one of our values. If you are a partner here, you've signed on to be generous, but with your words, with your prayers, with your time, but also with your resources. I mean, we believe generosity is a whole way of life. It's not just a one area of life. We want to be generous with everything we have for the glory and the greatness of God. So I want to encourage you to do that, to be sure.
Our ladies' Bible study is still going too. Sunday mornings at 9:30, we have our ladies via Zoom. And then Wednesday mornings at 10, our ladies are doing their Wednesday morning Bible study still.
Right.
So if you're not able to come and be here in person, which we can't right now because of social distancing,
right.
We are still meeting those needs in those
and
areas.
Let me encourage ladies who have been in the ladies' Sunday school class. We have a very large, active, dynamic women's Sunday school class here. Want to encourage you to connect with the women's Bible study during this time. So you have some connection with God's word and with other ladies that will love you and pray for you and care about you. Yep. So I want to encourage you, if you've been a part of that Sunday school class, please connect there. And ladies, listen, if you're watching, you've never connected with anything, this might be the first step. Because here's what's going to happen. This is going to be over soon. And our fellowship here is going to be filled up. 2 times on Sundays, we're praying for a massive move of God. Hearts to be changed, life to be changed, people to value the fellowship again. Our prayer intensity here is going to go up about tenfold. Want you to come and be a part of that. We're just believing God to move powerfully in those days. Now, we're still going to keep all of our social media stuff going. Actually, we're going to upgrade it. We're going to develop what we call an online campus. And for those of you who live away from here that can't make it, for those of you when you're sick or having to work or whatever the situation might be, you'll be able to log into the online campus, experience worship, communicate, pray, give, get training. It's going to be a wonderful time. That's coming too, and that'll be on our website to be sure. Anything else?
That's it.
Let's pray, we'll be done. Father, I pray you bless these, your people. Father, give them the greatest day they've ever had. Lord, cause them to lean into you in prayer, to lean into you through Bible study. Father, speak to their hearts and their minds. Eliminate, Lord, fear. You've not given us a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. Father, I pray that will be true of each person listening. Lord, those people who are walking and just don't get all of this change, and they don't really understand the big deal about it. There's no fear. It's just a bother to them. I pray you give them patience and understanding for others who are struggling during this time. Help us, Father, to love each other and not focus on ourselves. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. God's blessings on you. See you in the morning, 9:30, the Corona Chronicles. We'll be there.